Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I'm so glad you're here today because we have a phenomenal guest with us, Dr. Stephanie Snyder. Dr. Stephanie is a Navy wife and mother to four beautiful children. She's a mentor, speaker, and joy seeker. Through her simplified methods, she teaches women how to make the most of their time and resources while still being present with their families and easily creating the life they desire. When Stephanie isn't spending time with her family or growing her business, she enjoys horseback riding and competing in marathons and triathlons. And thank you so much for being here today, Dr. Stephanie. It's such a pleasure to have you. And I would love for you to just dive into your journey, how you got here today, and then we can go a little bit deeper.
Absolutely. I would love to. So thank you so much for having me here. I am excited. It's been an awesome day already. As we were chatting beforehand, I found a starfish on the beach this morning. First time ever. So super stoked about that. I was like, I don't care about the rest of the day. This is going to be an awesome day now. But in terms of my journey, I am currently a mom of four, but my journey got started when I was only a mom of two. It really woke me up, because I was not the mom that I wanted to be. I found myself being short and annoyed with my kids and reprimanding them for just being children. Painting in my house was not a thing because all I could think about was the mess that I would have to clean up afterwards. I have come a long way since then, as my kids now have an easel in our kitchen where they are painting regularly. So it does get better. but the real turning point for me was one night, my son, who's my oldest, he's 16 right now. He was about 7 years old at the time. And I reprimanded him, sent him to his room for something, and he climbed up onto his bed. And he looked at me and he said, "Nobody loves me. I should just disappear." And it absolutely broke my heart because that's how I felt. And I didn't realize how much it was impacting my kids. I thought I was doing a really great job of showing up and being a great mom and plastering a fake smile on my face and, and doing all of the things that I thought would bring me happiness as a mom. And I realized it was not. I was not happy as a mom. I was miserable as a mom, but I didn't know any other way. But when I saw that it was impacting my kids, I knew I had to do something different. And so I got really honest with myself and admitted to myself that I wasn't happy. And that was huge because, you know, there's so many people, and moms are not the exception to the rule for this. We all have these moments where we're going through the motions and there's so much we should be grateful for, but we're struggling to connect to that. And that's where I was at. There were a million things that I could have been grateful for, but I wasn't feeling it because I was in this state of overwhelm. I wasn't giving myself permission to actually be me. And that's when things started to change. I was like, well, we're not doing motherhood this way because it sucks. So let's find another way to do this. And so I actually got started making myself a priority, which was huge. And by doing that, I began to create all this extra space in my life. I started to feel better. I noticed that my kids were starting to enjoy me more, and I wasn't so short and angry with them. And so it just snowballed from there.
And how did you, and well, first off, I appreciate you sharing all of that too and being very vulnerable of your experience. But what did that look like to really start prioritizing yourself and taking care of yourself?
Yep. Well, for me, I believe that if it's not easy, I won't do it. So I had to find I had to find the easiest way to start to do this for myself. And so I don't remember if it was a podcast or whatever it was. Actually, I do remember kind of the catalyst behind this. There was a woman that was in this network marketing company that I was a part of years and years ago. And she posted something on Facebook that said, if it's important to you, you'll find the time. If not, you'll find an excuse. And I read that post and I wanted to just flip her the bird and scream and yell at her because she had no idea what my day looked like, that how could she have the audacity to say that? Mm-hmm. But what it did was it caused me to actually look at where my time was going. Mm-hmm. And so I realized that I was spending an exorbitant amount of time obsessing over the laundry. Mm. I don't know why, but I thought that if I got control of the laundry, I could control the rest of my life. And so I made it a daily mission to get all the laundry done. But when you have two children and a spouse and two dogs, it's very difficult to get laundry done. And I joke with people, unless we're living in a nudist colony, laundry will never be complete.
True, very true.
And so I had to come to terms with the fact that I was not going to be a master of laundry. It just wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. As I watched the laundry pile up in the laundry basket where it's supposed to be, it gave me so much anxiety. And I was like, I'll just wash that load. Like, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Like, we'll be okay if I just wash laundry today. But I had decided that I was going to only wash laundry twice a week. And that was going to be it. And mm-hmm. so I really struggled for the first couple of weeks to let that laundry pile up. But once I got into that rhythm, there was so much extra space in my day. Mm. And I wasn't rushing my kids out of bed so I could wash their pajamas. And I didn't really care if they spilled water on themselves because it was fine. Like, as long as it wasn't dripping wet, like it wasn't going to get moldy in the basket kind of thing. Mm. And so it really did start from there. And I was like, oh, well, now I have more time and more mental energy and more emotional energy. And so then I started to pay attention to what I was eating. I've always been pretty healthy. But at that time for lunch, I was eating anything that was left over on my kids' plate. So whether it was chicken nuggets or a grilled cheese or half of a sandwich or whatever, I was really neglecting myself. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start actually making food for me because I need to eat. And then I started prioritizing my fitness, my quiet time. I found that I was having more energy because I was actually doing things that filled me up.
Mm. I love that. It was a complete turnaround too, of just knowing, okay, I need to do something for me. And and I hear so many moms say that I'll just eat whatever's left over on their kid's plate because they don't have time or the mental energy. But when you start taking care of yourself, you do have more energy. And I know you work with so many moms and your focus is helping women make the most of their time and resources while still being present with their families. What strategies do you recommend for achieving this balance and how do you help your clients implement them?
Absolutely. So the very first thing I like to remind moms is that even though we can do it all, we don't have to. Mm-hmm. And that can be really hard pill to swallow because as women, we are really great at keeping all the things in control, right? Mm-hmm. But just because we can doesn't mean that we have to. And so I love to do this exercise, and this works in your business as well as in your home life. And I call it love, like, hate, and delegate. Ooh, nice. And so a couple of us, we'll talk through it in personal life, and then we'll dive into kind of what this looks like in the business. So when it comes to the things in your personal life, the things that you love to do, right? I don't necessarily love to do laundry. So I put that in my like column because, quite frankly, I'll get it done. And maybe I watch an episode of one of my shows while I'm folding the laundry, like whatever it is, right? But I don't love it, right? So it goes into the like column because I'm kind of indifferent to it. I hate cleaning bathrooms. I don't do it anymore. Years ago, I made it a priority to pay somebody else to do it, and now somebody else does it. And so that would be in the hate column. Mm-hmm. I love gardening. I love being in my garden. I love mulching my flower beds. I love being outside, weeding, like all of those things. Love it. So mm-hmm. that's going to stay in the love column. Mm-hmm. And I'll never get rid of that. I mean, unless, you know, maybe somewhere down the road, I'd pay a bunch of money for a landscaper, but I love being out there. Mm-hmm. So I keep it in that column. And what I found was there were a bunch of things that I really didn't love to do that I could pawn off on my older kids. Right. Recently I put my foot down and I said, I'm not washing dishes anymore. I'm done. I'm the one who cooks. You all can wash the dishes because I hate it now. So I delegate it to somebody else. And there is no guilt as I sit there and watch my kids wash the dishes because I don't have to do it. They're old enough that they can help. These are the kinds of things, right? Mm-hmm. Another thing that goes into that column, making my bed. I love making the bed first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. Love it. Like, it just looks so nice and it feels so good to get into a made bed at night. My husband doesn't care, so he's not going to make the bed. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I make the bed for me, but that stays in the love column. But as I went through this, I realized that there was a bunch of stuff that I didn't care to do mm-hmm. that I was doing, right? Like, yeah. I don't make my kids' beds anymore. If they don't want a made bed, I'm not making it. Does it look pretty when I make it? Yes. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time making a bed if they're not actually going to appreciate it. And they don't care. So, so that's in the delegate column. If they want it done, they get it done. Right. Mm-hmm. But what I did was I went through like all the things in my day to day and figured mm-hmm. out, okay, what things do I really love to do? What do I like to do? And what can I delegate? And when I first got started, I didn't have the space to delegate because I wasn't making a bunch of money. And so what I did was I spent the least amount of time on that hate and delegate column because it was just soul sucking.
Yeah.
And so many of us think that we have to do that thing and we procrastinate about it. And it takes up more mental energy because we're thinking about not doing the thing that we hate doing. Right. Yeah. So what I'll do is if there's anything in that column right now, I'm trying to think in my home life, there isn't anything in that column right now. In the hate column. But what I would do is I'd go, okay, I'm only spending 20 minutes on this. And then I'm going to call it quits and be on with, like, get on to the rest of my day. When I was cleaning the house, because we weren't paying somebody else to clean the house, it took me 2 hours. And I would bust it out in 2 hours and be done with it and then move on with my day. So I try to spend as little time in that hate column as possible because it's exhausting. I don't want to be there anyways.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that's, and I will periodically review that when I feel that I'm struggling to make things work. Like if I feel like I don't have enough time for something, I'll see, okay, am I doing something that I love or am I spending a bunch of time in this hate column? And let's revisit that. So I'm constantly revising this. This is why the dishes are now delegated to my kids. I decided I was wasting too much time with it. I hate it. Didn't want to do it. Now my kids do it. And then when it comes to your business, same thing. Mm-hmm. Love, like, hate, delegate. Mm-hmm. So when I first started, again, didn't have a bunch of money, I believed I had to have a website. I hated the thought of creating a website. Hated it. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't have the technical skill. So when I was first building my website, I spent 20 minutes to an hour per week getting that up and running. And then I hated it so much anyways that I didn't even send people to it. So yeah. I got it done. Mm-hmm. It was in the hate column. And then when I was making more money, I delegated it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Said, you make it beautiful and I'll send people to it. It'll be great. But initially I hated it that I wouldn't even send people to it anyways. But then, you know, cold messaging people, if you are not a cold messaging person, don't do it. You can put that in the hate column and not do it. Or if you really feel it's necessary, you can delegate it to somebody else. For me, I love podcast interviews. I love Facebook or YouTube lives. Like I love being on video. So that stays in the love column. Because people can, if I'm loving it, people are going to feel my energy and they're going to feel the genuine connection. The like column, there isn't a whole lot in the like column. Usually it's a love or a hate when it comes to for my business. I hate sales calls. So I don't do those anymore. If people are going to have a conversation with me, they're going to probably do it in DM and they're going to sign up. I mean, I don't do, and not sales calls per se, discovery calls, where they're just asking me a million questions, because what happens is I actually just go into coaching mode immediately where I want to help them. Mm-hmm. And then I give them enough advice that usually they're like, okay, we're good.
Yeah.
So I don't do free discovery calls anymore. They were taking up a lot of time and I was just going into coaching mode, and it was a, there was a disparity in the energy exchange there. So I just quit doing those. I like TikTok. I don't love TikTok yet. So I out there periodically, you'll find me there procrastinating about something. I did a bunch of videos yesterday because I was procrastinating and about making dinner. But look at all the things that you're doing in your life, your business. And if it really isn't something you love, decide whether it's necessary or not. Because you do, the beauty of being an entrepreneur is that you get to create your business however you want. And there's freedom in that. And so if you don't love Facebook Lives, you don't love TikTok, you don't have to be there. You can hang out in another medium that will generate just as much success in a space that you love. And that's the key there.
Absolutely. And I so appreciate you breaking it down with your personal life, but also business, and understanding too, focusing in on, okay, I love this. I like this. I hate this, and then delegating it, but being able to know what works best and like reevaluating it too, because it can change as life changes or business models change or evolve. But I do love that you really focus in on, okay, well, even with like business per se, I really don't like those discovery calls, because like you, in the beginning of my coaching journey, I was like just giving out free advice. I was like, yeah, we can jump on a discovery call. And then like 2 hours later, I'm like, oh, they don't need me.
Right.
I've learned the hard way as well. But I think too, it's just knowing what works for you. And like what you said, the freedom of building a business the way you want to build it. There is no right or wrong way. Of course, there's right ways when it comes to legal stuff and all of that.
Right. Yes.
But how you create it, how you create that model, it's never been done before. So you have that freedom of what you want to create, because it's coming from you and your unique spin on just life and your experiences, but also what you're helping people with as a whole. And I'm just so curious, with all the methods that you do have, what is your method to aim to simplify life for women? Can you elaborate on or share some examples of how you have simplified complex or overwhelming tasks and how these methods can benefit those clients? So I know you kind of touched on it, but like more of the overwhelming tasks, I would
absolutely
say.
Absolutely. So oftentimes the task that we're overwhelmed by it simply because we're procrastinating and we think it's going to take way longer than it's going to. So prime example, one of my very first clients, she reached out to me because she wanted to get organized. And I said, okay, absolutely. I can definitely help with this. What's going on? And she said, well, my office has literally vomited into my dining room, and now I have no space in my dining room. I need to get it in order. I said, okay, we can definitely help with this. And so the very first thing I told her, I said, okay, what I want you to do is tomorrow morning, I want you to get up, however you're going to get up, I said, and then set your timer for 20 minutes and organized for just 20 minutes. That's it. And she was like, well, I'm not going to get anything done in 20 minutes. And I said, just trust me, only do 20 minutes. You'll be good. Mm-hmm. So I talked to her the next week and I said, how did it go? And she said, it was awful. She said, I didn't get anything done. I was totally procrastinated. Nothing happened. And I said, well, what were you doing while you were filing, right? Whatever it was. And she said, well, I was drinking coffee. And I said, okay, what did you actually want to be doing? And she said, well, I wanted to sit and enjoy my coffee and, you know, whatever, check in with people, read the newspaper, watch the news, whatever it was. She said, but I really wanted to get this thing out of the way for the day because you said only 20 minutes. And I said, that is the problem here. Mm-hmm. I said, the problem is you were drinking the coffee, signaling to yourself that you wanted to relax while also trying to force yourself to do some work. I said, that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. She said, well, what do you mean? And I said, you're confusing yourself. So it's going to take you longer to do that task because you want to relax every sip of that coffee, but now you're forcing yourself to work. I said, so what I want you to do is I want you to enjoy your coffee in the morning. Get up, enjoy your coffee, read the paper, whatever it is you need to do, enjoy that. And then start a timer for 20 minutes when you're done with your coffee, however many cups you have, one or two, whatever. When you're done with your coffee, set a timer and then get organized. And she said, okay, I'm going to try it. She said, I don't think it's going to work, but I'll try it. I said, okay. Mm-hmm. So we get on a call the next week and she said, oh my God, it worked. She said, I got to enjoy my coffee. And then when I started working, I was so motivated to get it done that I did all of it in 2 hours. She said, it only took me 2 hours to do it all. And I've been procrastinating about this thing for 6 months. She said, it only took me 2 hours. And I was like, yes, exactly. Because you allowed yourself that space in the feminine where you got to connect. And then you sat down and you got shit done in your masculine. The problem is, and I see this so often, is that we try to force ourselves to do a bunch of things when we really don't want to, because we're craving that recharge, right? So the feminine energy is constantly recharging. The masculine is the doer.
Yes.
And so my day, I learned this about myself years ago. And so my day is broken up into 2 hour blocks. My masculine's really good for about 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I need a dance party. I need to recharge. I need to eat or, you know, do something else that isn't so focused and forced. Mm-hmm. And so that has been game changer for me, because then I can be present and I can also get stuff done in 2 hours and be ridiculously efficient with my time. I mean, I can do probably an entire week's worth of work in 2 hours. When I'm that focused. So there is beauty in it, and we all have different ways to do this. Mm-hmm. And the truth of it is, when you get started with something, you don't have to complete it in that one sitting, right? And this is so often what we look at. There was another client who she started to work from home, and she said, well, I've got this extra bedroom, but it's the junk room. She said, we just throw everything in there. It's ridiculous. And I said, okay. I said, how would it feel to have your own space there instead of having to work out of your bedroom? And she said, well, that would be amazing. And we started to paint the picture of what that looked like in that office space. Mm-hmm. And I said, you don't have to do it all this weekend. I said, but if you spend 20 to 60 minutes organizing it a couple of days a week, you're going to get there. Yeah. And it didn't take her long. It took her a few weeks in that mentality. And then she had this gorgeous office space that she loved. She had a little sofa. She got to put up some paintings, mm-hmm. and she could close the door and not be in her bedroom working. Yeah. And so she got to separate that space as well. Which is so important. And this was something I heard a lot as people, when COVID hit and people started to move online remotely, they're like, well, I'm working from my bed today. What a terrible idea. Like,
I've actually done it.
What an awful idea, right? Now there are moments where there are times that I'll take my computer to my bedroom because mm-hmm. we have a beautiful fireplace in there. And I'll sit in front of the fireplace, but I know that when I'm sitting in front of the fireplace, whatever I'm doing is going to take me an astronomical amount of time. Mm-hmm. Because I'm in relaxed state, maybe I'm feeling a bit more creative, but I am certainly not going to be efficient sitting there. Mm-hmm. And so I have an office space. This is where I work 99% of the time. Mm-hmm. Because then whatever it is I'm doing, I can get it done quickly and then go enjoy life instead of having to figure out which mode I'm in. It's very easy. And my kids know this too. If mom's at her computer, you're going to have to wait. She's focused. She's getting something done. I'll be with you in a minute. Mm-hmm. And they know that. And it's so it, you know, it is about having those boundaries, but there's freedom mm-hmm. in the boundary.
Yes.
Because then you can be totally present when you're not getting work done.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. You're giving me a lot to think about. I'm like, oh, I'm that person that works from my bed. My fiance was like, but I do actually get a lot done. I can be very productive because we have like our TV and it's like the fireplaces to my left or whatever in our bedroom. But it's really funny you say that. But I do agree with the 2 hour aspect. I know like there's a saying, I don't know whoever started it, but it's like, get the hard things done in the morning or like first thing. So like the things that maybe on that list that you hate or need to delegate, get that done first. Like that's kind of how I function, but I love the 2 hour. I'm going to try that because I'm very productive, but it's something different and I'm always willing to try. But I love that it's really that focused time and energy because mm-hmm. you know, like if there's a time or a deadline, I do really well too, but I think other people do as well. Like what you're saying and with your client, and just having that space, because even with the one with the coffee too, the 20 minutes of cleaning that space, understanding that, okay, I have only 20 minutes, you're more productive because you're like, okay, I got to get this done, or right. just there's more on the line.
Right. And I use the analogy, like your best friend calls you and she's like, oh my God, I'm in town. I'm going to be there in 20 minutes. And you look around at your house, you're going to clean in 20 minutes. Right? Yeah. Like maybe it's the best friend who doesn't care that your house looks like chaotic. But for me, I can't sit down and be present if I see all these other distractions. As one of my clients said to me yesterday, she was like, the house just speaks to me. It doesn't speak to my husband, but it speaks to me and I can't sit until it's done talking. Right. And so it's like, you know, there's dishes in the sink and they speak to you, or there's laundry in the laundry room and that speaks to you. And so I know that for my friend to be the best friend, then I've got to pick up. And so I've only got 20 minutes to do it. You can be sure I'm going to throw things where it shouldn't be, but it's going to be picked up and it's going to be tidy because I only have 20 minutes to do it.
Yes. No, I can definitely understand that. I have to do that later today because I have a friend coming over later. So I will be doing this. I'll be thinking of you.
Perfect.
But I want to go back to your business and everything that you have accomplished. What was the drive initially to even start your own business?
It was my kids. A million times over. And I know it sounds cliche, but I grew up with divorced parents and my mother worked 2-3 jobs at a time. And there was not a whole lot of her being present with me. Mm-hmm. And so that was vital to me as a mom. And I allow my kids to teach me where I may be falling short. So for instance, my oldest daughter, she's 13 right now. Several years ago, I was obsessed with like checking my email. I was working in a network marketing company and I was convinced that I had to be on all the time. Mm-hmm. And so they would constantly see me pull up my computer and check my email and my Facebook messages and whatever. And one day she stopped me and she said, Mom, why are you on your computer so much? Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's a great question. Obviously, I don't need to be on my computer this much because none of what I was doing was crisis mode. Mm-hmm. There was no emergency, right? And so I learned that by creating even more, not rigid, but firmer boundaries around my time, I was actually empowering other people. Because if somebody on my team had messaged me about a question and I didn't respond right away, guess what? They figured it out some other way. They did some research, they did something else. And so I found that I could actually put up boundaries around my time, learn to say no to things, mm-hmm. and the world was not going to end. And so that my kids are really the catalyst. And so I have a little tagline where My kids are not my excuse. They're my reason. Mm-hmm. And so going into the summer now, my kids have a couple weeks of school left. My hours are going to shift drastically because they're all in school right now. And so as that shift occurs, there'll be some earlier mornings because I'm a morning person where I'll get stuff done in the morning. But then we'll have the afternoon to ourselves and I won't have to think about work because I can be present with them and I've already done all the things I needed to do.
I love that. And I think a lot of people will say, and I've heard this from moms just across the board in different capacities of, well, I have my kids, I can't do this, or I can't do that, versus being the reason. And I love that tagline too, because I don't know where I saw it. I'm sure on your website or somewhere from your capacity, but I love that you really focus in on they're the reason, they're your why of why you're doing all of this, but not allowing that to become an excuse. Because I'm not a mom yet, but I just can resonate from what I hear and understand that capacity of how it can be so rewarding if you're using it, reframing the words around it.
Absolutely. And it's so easy. It is so easy in our society to be like, well, I have kids, I can't. Mm-hmm. Because quite frankly, who's going to argue with that? Yeah. Like not a lot of people.
Right.
But I found that it was actually really disempowering for me to blame my kid for something. Mm-hmm. And so even when my kids were little, so I started my business when the baby was about 4 or 5 months old. And so I didn't have 2 hour chunks necessarily until she was on a good nap schedule. But my business, I had simplified it so much that in order to move the needle forward for my business, I did 2 things. One, I showed up and I was visible on social media. So it was a post or, you know, it was a picture, it was a share, it was whatever. And then I reached out to 3 people and I still send these messages to this day. I call them my joyful messages. And I reach out to 3 people and I just say, hey, I hope that you're having a great day. I just want to remind you that you're amazing. That's it. Mm-hmm. Those are the 2 things that I use to move my business forward. And they can take me 2 hours to do. They can take me 5 minutes to do, depending on what my day looks like that day. And that's part of that process as well, is that so many of us don't want to start something because we don't have the perfect schedule in place yet. Mm-hmm. Well, the day's never going to go according to your plan.
No.
It doesn't. It doesn't. If it does, please let me know, because those are few and far between. but what I found was I would love, ideally, I'd love 2 hours for this thing, right?
Yeah.
But some days the kids were sick, or, you know, the dog pooped all over the house and got sick, or like, you know, something happened that was not planned for. And I could have freaked out and ultimately taken it out on my kids, because I would have been annoyed and it would have come out at them. Or I could go, okay, well, this isn't the perfect day. So what's the shortest thing I can do today? What can I do? And so that's where I got, you know, like plan A and then plan Z. Like plan Z is when everything else goes wrong, but I still want to move the needle forward. And so plan Z is like 5 minutes. Okay, I've got 5 minutes. I can do 5 minutes. I can lock the bathroom door and sit there and bust out a post in 5 minutes, even while the kid is screaming on the other side of the door. Right? I can do it. Mm-hmm. Is it ideal? No, but I'm still moving that needle forward and haven't put my goal, my dream, my business on the back burner, which is so easy to do as a mom.
Yeah. No, and I love you're just using your resources, right? Like with whatever you have, being able to maneuver and get something done, no matter how small it is. If you have 5 minutes, maybe even 2 minutes of being able to just write it out really quick, even though the kids are screaming, that maybe the dog's running around, whatever is going on, but being able to understand too that you're doing something, and something is better than nothing. Absolutely. It doesn't have to be perfect. It's progress. And that's what I'm hearing too. Perfection doesn't exist. It never does.
Right.
Like, yeah, I don't know anyone who's perfect.
Yeah. No, you'll wait forever waiting for the perfect opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah. So you just got to take it. And sometimes the messiest opportunities end up being exactly what was necessary to move mm-hmm. that needle forward. And you never know what can come from it within the mess and the chaos, because that's life. It's not right. strict, rigid thing. It's not. It's never like that. But as much as we plan, it's good to have a plan, but you know, right. you got to have the flexibility within that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And just with everything that you have gone through in building your business, what has been maybe one of the obstacles that you've had to overcome in building it?
Absolutely. So this is a repeat obstacle that I am so here to learn, apparently, a bunch of times. So I can be really nerdy and intellectual. I can make everything about a strategy, a system, a whatever. I love it.
Yeah.
The obstacle is allowing the mind and the heart to actually come together and letting the heart lead as opposed to letting the mind lead. This has been a thing that has come up a couple of times in my life in general, because logically that doesn't make sense. So why would I do that? Right. And this is part of the work that I help moms to uncover, is that your intuition is actually going to be right way more than it's going to be wrong. Mm-hmm. And you can trust yourself and you'll be okay, even if it doesn't go according to the logical plan. And that has been a lesson I've learned way too many times. I feel like I'm like, I think I got it. And then I just get it on a deeper level and I'm like, I didn't have it. Okay, cool. But that was, I remember my very first mentor that I hired, and we had this little breakout session with some of us that were progressing farther than the rest of the group. And so she pulled us aside. We did a little mastermind thing, and she was very intuitive. And so she went around like the four of us and she said, okay, I'm feeling pulled to like tell you what's in your way. And I was like, oh, this ought to be good. Right. Like, great. And I remember she looked at me and she said, your business will take off when you take the walls down around your heart. Mm. And I was like, oh, could it be something else? And she was like, she's like, it's not going to be the right strategy. It's not going to be something that you can mentally will into place. You're actually going to have to connect with people. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I want to do that. And she was like, okay, well, you're just going to keep butting your head up against the wall. Success is going to elude you until you go all in. And I was like, all right. So I did. I went all in. My business took off. It was incredible. And then COVID hit and I closed back down. And as I closed back down, my business went and so it's that connection that's coming back in and allowing it, because I was in survival mode. And so often when we're in survival mode, we are afraid of getting hurt. We're afraid of doing something wrong and we're just trying to protect and intact what's going on. But until you get that heart and head connection going on, you're just gonna spin your wheels.
I mean, I feel like you're speaking to me a few years ago and a lot of people listening too, of just how we get in our own way so much. And it's like the analytical mind is like, well, it has to make sense on paper or like how it flows. But then when you let go, so much happens. Like I was very resistant to even start my recruiting business that I just recently started. So I'm like, this doesn't make sense. This is not my background. This is like all these other things. I'm like, what am I doing? But it's just the more I released, the more success I've gotten. And just like what you're saying too, when you connect that heart and mind and it's aligned, so much more can happen. And just like what you said, the business started to thrive. And then as soon as COVID hit and you reverted back in, it went back down and now opening up again. It's amazing to see that transformation or hear about it too. And other people listening, understanding, it doesn't have to make sense like out in the real world, but when you feel connected to it, that shows. We were talking about this earlier, when you're showing up on YouTube and you love what you do or doing the lives, anything like that, it connects and people can resonate with that and they feel the genuineness because you enjoy it versus something you're like, oh, I got to get go on live. I'm freaking out. It's like, hey, how are you?
Right, you know, right.
Like, it doesn't flow as much, but when you really enjoy something, that does shine through and other people can feel that energy. And I love that you did listen to that and your business is thriving and it's a constant battle sometimes, but you know, what you mentioned too, I think there was really the key aspect is it gets deeper. There's a deeper understanding as you allow it to, because I think we're always evolving, always learning more about ourselves and just how we function in the world and how our purpose is being played out too.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely a lot of surrender. But when you surrender, and I don't remember who, where I heard this from, but it was leave space for the magic. Because, and this is, you know, that I see this a lot, is that people are so scheduled down to the second, right? That if anybody cuts them off, or heaven forbid, there's like a person at the coffee shop that takes more than 0.4 seconds to order their coffee, your whole day goes into a tailspin.
Yeah.
That's not realistic at all, because then you're just going to be constantly wound up and you're going to be stressed about it all the time. Yeah. And so I actually found myself doing this yesterday. I had scheduled a call for what I thought was 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. And then my oldest wanted to go to the golf course. And so from school, I dropped him off at the golf course and I was like, you're going to have to like tuck and roll out of the car, kid, so that I can get back home for this 4 o'clock call. For whatever reason, I didn't check my schedule initially before I left the house. And I don't have a bunch of business stuff on my phone because I only want to be working when I'm on my computer. So I was like, you're going to have to tuck and roll so that I can make it back for this 4 o'clock call. And he's like, Mom, I am not jumping out of the car. And I was like, it'll be fine. Just like jump out of the car. We'll throw the golf clubs to you on the way by. And he was like, no, Mama, like, I'm not doing that. You're crazy. And so he gets out of the car and I'm like, come on, you're moving too slow. Like, get all your stuff. Let's go. And we get home and I sit down to go make the call. And I had scheduled the call for 4:30. I come hauling in hot at 4 o'clock to hop on this call, got there just in time for 4 o'clock. And I had scheduled it for 4:30 because I knew when I scheduled it that something was going to happen and I might not make it back from school by 4 o'clock. So I had prepared to be successful and then had gotten wound up in this panic that I had scheduled it for 4, even though I knew I had actually scheduled it for 4:30. So my daughter was like, that was a quick call. And I was like, yeah, well, Mom was actually planning ahead really well and planned for 4:30 instead of 4 o'clock.
Well, you made it and your son didn't have to jump out of the car.
Right. He didn't. But so oftentimes that's what we do. We overcommit ourselves.
Yeah.
All of these things where a lot of the times that thing isn't even necessary. And, you know, we're better off with that space, right? But some people get uncomfortable with that extra space. That happened to me when I had extra time with the laundry. I got really uncomfortable with that extra space.
Yeah.
But that's where magic happens, is in the extra space.
I love that saying. I've never heard that before. But I do think there is so much truth to that as well, because I know a lot of individuals and myself personally that used to be very rigid with scheduling to a T. I had everything scheduled to a T because I had a lot going on. I still do, but I mean, I do leave that space now for things to happen and knowing, okay, it's not going to go perfect. Even just like scheduling certain things, I'm like, okay, I know these people might not show up. Okay, I have a little bit of room, wiggle room in that regard for like one other business. But I think it's just understanding too, when we create that, there's so much space for like spontaneousness, the magic, and understanding too. It's just being present, being human, especially with kids and family and friends. You never know what can come from it. And some of the best memories are when they're not planned.
Yes.
And I'm a hardcore planner, but I will say.
Yes. Oh yeah. No, you and me both. You and me both. I'm a military wife though. And so I learned this lesson early on in military world. you can't plan for military life. There's just that there's no way. And I joke, my neighbor is also a military spouse, and mm-hmm. we joke back and forth because I'm like, what plan are you on today? And she's like, oh, well, we're on plan 7. I'm like, so A and B are gone? She's like, yeah, we went through the whole alphabet. We're on 7 now. I was like, okay, great. But we make these plans, right? Like plan A. And then plan A falls through. And so we come up with plan B just in case. And then we're like, well, because plan A fell through, we're going to go with plan C and D just in case. And then the military will change its mind and none of the plans matter because nothing's happening now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so when my husband would come home and he'd say, hey, by the way, like there's a potential trip coming up or there's, you know, we might get these new orders. We might have to go X, Y, and Z. And so we'll sit down and make very general plans. I'll be like, okay, if this happens, we'll do this. If that happens, we'll do that. But I don't attach myself to any of them because they could all change. Yeah. And so it's like, why waste all the energy making all those plans when it doesn't really matter? Now, I love plans, of course.
Of course. It just prepares you for the unexpected. Yes.
Like I love having a plan for my day and saying, okay, yeah. these are some things I want to get done. Mm-hmm. But I also know that if that plan doesn't go according to my expectations, it'll be okay. Like, people aren't going to die, you know, in my line of work. yeah. But I mean, I even took this into account when my kids were little and I did those 2-hour blocks. Mm-hmm. Friday, I would leave both 2-hour chunks of time because I called it the nap time hustle. I literally worked when my kids were napping. But I said to myself, do I really want to work all of those hours? Well, no. I didn't want to be, you know, mom mode and then work mode and like have no me time in there. Right. So one of those blocks was totally empty. It was whatever I felt like doing. Mm-hmm. And then another one of those blocks during the week was overflow. So if my kids were sick or, you know, something took longer than I wanted to, or, you know, whatever it is, I was able to move whatever task was happening in that block to an open one. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't adding extra overwhelm. And that's one thing that I see is, and this is something that happens for moms and not moms, you know, just people in business in general, they'll say, okay, well, I want to, you know, take on these many clients. Okay, cool. Where are they going to fit in your schedule now? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, cause I don't have them yet. Well, that's a problem. Like, if you don't know where those people are going to fit, you're not actually ever going to attract them because you don't have space. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to create the space for that client to actually come to you. Mm-hmm. So that you're not creating overwhelm, because if you're growing a heart-centered business, it's not going to add overwhelm.
Exactly.
Not the point of it, right?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And just with all the planning and whatnot, what are some of the tools that you use to really help your business thrive, grow, everything along those lines?
Yeah. So in my block schedules, I have specific blocks for specific purposes. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a block where I'm doing coaching calls. There'll be a block where I'm creating content. You know, those are like the two major blocks of time. But what I like to do is I have this app on my phone called Evernote. Mm-hmm. I've had it on my phone forever. And because inspiration will usually hit when I'm hanging out with my kids.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, I'll be sitting there at the beach with them, or we'll be playing, you know, I'll be at a soccer game with them or whatever it is. And all of a sudden I get this great idea. Well, what I used to do was I would write out the great idea while I was sitting with them, mm-hmm. and get annoyed that they were trying to talk to me while I was coming up with this great idea. Mm-hmm. And so what I started to do was I would just make a note, whatever the like leading thought was, I'd put it in Evernote, and then I would inspire myself again in that creative session. So whether it was some oils or, you know, the perfect setting or some music in the background, whatever it is, I would call that inspiration back in and create the post. Mm-hmm. And then I was never annoyed at my children because you can imagine trying to write something that's really creative and heartfelt while you're hollering at your kid.
Like, yeah. Might be a little challenging.
Right? Like, it doesn't really work. There's a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just create opportunities for the inspiration, and I'd just tap back into it, because that's what it is, right? Like, mm-hmm. inspiration can be turned on and turned off once you figure it out.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, thank you for sharing those.
Absolutely.
Gives it context too, of just anytime you're in those moments, even if you're mom or not, just being able to, like, if you're talking with family or you have a great idea, just being able to write down that thought very quickly and then recreating that inspiration when there's that time block for it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I used to do it. I do it when I'm running too. This is one of the reasons I have the Apple Watch. I have the Apple Watch for two reasons. One, to always find my phone, and two, to remind me of stuff later, right? So, like, my kids will be like, hey, I need such and such. And I'm like, okay, remind me at such and such time to get whatever. Mm. And then I can still be focused and not forget about that thing. Mm. And when I'm running, I'm like, oh, that was a really great idea. Remind me at such and such time to write a post about da, 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 da. Okay, done. And I can get back to my run.
Yeah. You got so many great tips. But if you could give us just maybe one or two more around the entrepreneurship journey.
Absolutely. So entrepreneurship is, you've probably heard this before, a marathon, not a sprint. So sitting down and saying, I'm going to grow my business for 8 hours a day is not realistic. I compare it a lot to, and you may be familiar with this, writing the dissertation for your doctorate, right? There were so many of my classmates that said, okay, I'm going to spend 8 hours every Saturday working on my dissertation. And I thought, well, that sounds awful. Mm-hmm. I have no desire to do that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And so this was the same way that I built my business, as we were talking about earlier. I would block off 1 hour Monday through Friday to write my dissertation.
Mm.
That was it. 1 hour to move the needle forward. I was either researching or I was writing or I was making edits, whatever it was. Sometimes it didn't take the full hour. Sometimes it took the full hour, but I moved that needle ahead. It took me 2 years to do it, but I was a mom of four.
Yeah.
Or three at the time while I was writing my dissertation. My third was born when I was taking my exit exams. So I had a newborn when I started writing the dissertation. Yeah. So I knew, okay, the goal is to get this thing done. That was the end game. That was the vision. Right. So how can I get there daily?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the schedule. It took me 2 years to do it, but I successfully defended it 2 weeks before baby number four was born.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So same thing with your business, right? Like, I'm huge on having a vision. What does that vision look like? And it may not be a vision for your business per se, but a vision for your life. Yeah. What do you want your life to look like in 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay. If you don't want to be working 60 hours a week, you start that now, not 4 years from now, because you're going to have to build up to it. You're going to have to, you know, realize that you can actually be really efficient with your time. And maybe you only need to work 10 hours a week to get there. But what does that look like? What does your life look like? And what kind of a business will support that?
That's what it's about. Well, thank you, Dr. Stephanie, for all sharing everything that you've shared today. I would love to know, where can people find you, use your services? We'll link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Absolutely. So the best place to find me is Instagram at Stephanie Snyder, PhD. That is my favorite place to hang out right now. Facebook is in my like column. but Instagram is in my love column. I've been having a lot of fun with all those reels and hanging out there. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Stephanie, for just again coming on, just sharing your beautiful energy with us and your beautiful journey of how you got here today. And I know I appreciate it. I'm sure everyone listening does as well. But make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was your biggest takeaway from Dr. Stephanie today? I'm sure she would love to see that comment. And we will see you on the next episode.